The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's International Face Your Fears Day, Tone. What are your biggest fears?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Ghosts, snakes, the Sports Center segment. I can't stand that.
That's great. The Sports Center segment. They're, right now in Bristol, they're so angry at you. Angry because you're fearful. Yeah.
Don't fear, kids. We'll have one tonight for you. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Ravens come back to beat the Colts, the Red Sox bounce the Rays, and the Nets sideline Kyrie Irving. But we begin today with John Gruden abruptly resigning as head coach of the Raiders after a second group of defamatory emails sent to Bruce Allen over a seven-year period were reported in the New York Times. These emails were homophobic, misogynistic, and included sharp criticisms of Roger Goodell. Wilbon, what are your thoughts on Gruden's departure?
Tony, my first thought was, yeah, this had to happen. No matter how it happened, whether it was reported as a firing or a resignation or a parting of the ways, it didn't really matter. Because the NFL, which dragged its feet for years, if not decades, before it got to the point of saying, we're not having this. We're going to put in our end zone, end racism, end hate. I mean, the NFL has gotten very loud and in your face about saying, okay, we've joined the fray with other leagues that have been asking for this and demanding it. And we, too, are saying, you can't have this. And then you have this. You have this kind of speech. Yes, it's in the form of emails, but it's speech and it's ugly. And it's just, I mean, it was so ugly, Tone. And, you know, you and I have a couple of colleagues who told us, you know, in real time, you know, 24, 36 hours earlier, this is who he is. He's a vulgar person, and he did this kind of thing all the time. And while it came as a shock to us and whatever interactions, I had more of them with him than you did, it had to happen this way, and it had to happen quickly and now, and then move forward if possible.
Yeah, I used the word yesterday about the Demoris Smith email. I said it was indefensible. I'll just use that same word again today.
Yeah.
The volume of this. It's completely indefensible, and I agree with you, he had to go. And then I began to think about other issues tied to this. And the first thing I thought about, and Mike, you and I were newspaper reporters for a long time, and that gene in us, that newspaper reporter gene, called out to me and said, well, how did this happen? How did this happen? How were these leaks so strategically placed that when the first one didn't get rid of him, the second one, like a time bomb, came out? And these leaks were not to casual sports sites. They were to the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, which are beyond reproach in terms of reputation. Somebody in the National Football League, not just somebody, maybe more, sat on this for a little while and went to somebody above them. And they decided, John Gruden, we're going to get him. We're going to get rid of John Gruden. And there is cause. You and I both agree that there is cause in a circumstance like this. And that was the first thing that I thought of. And the second thing was, what about this team? How is this team going to play? What are the individuals on this team? What are we going to learn about their relationship with John Gruden? What are we going to learn about their relationship with a new coach who, for all I know, is a handpicked assistant of John Gruden? I don't know. I don't know anything about the guy. Are they going to play hard for them? Are they going to win any more games? Or is every individual on that team going to say, just let me get something on tape that shows I'm good and let me get a job next year and let me get out of here? I think we're going to learn a lot down the road. There are 12 games to go, Mike.
Tony, we started learning Sunday when they couldn't catch the ball, the Raiders, against the Bears on a home field after playing well, you know, and winning three out of the first four. We got a notion of that. They didn't want to play for him anymore, or at least they were questioning it. And they were in disarray. And so now, yes, we find the next step of that. But what else, Tony? John Gruden ain't the only person thinking this stuff and saying this stuff. He's not.
That's right.
And this investigation began with the Washington football team and some behavior that the Washington Post reported in great detail was completely, you talk about unacceptable. What now? There's statements that apparently they're not going back to open it. Well, they didn't have to open it. What about what they found that there was no written report of? What about that? Mike, and so it's just John Gruden? There's a whole lot of stuff to wonder here.
650,000 email. 650,000. Got to be something. Beyond this, got to be something.
You would think so. We had NFL news on the field last night as well. The Colts were rolling with a 19-point lead in the third quarter when Lamar Jackson took over the game. Jackson threw for 402 yards, four touchdowns, as the Ravens tied things up in regulation, then won in overtime. John Harbaugh called Jackson's performance one of the greatest he's ever seen. Tone, what are you calling it?
Well, I mean, it's a spectacular performance. They're down 19 in the third quarter, as you said. And this is what Lamar Jackson does in the second half and in the overtime. 29 of 32, 335 yards, and four touchdowns. If you had any question about his ability to pass the ball, those questions would be allayed after what you saw last night. Now, I grant you that the whole thing is moot if the field goal goes through for the Colts.
Right.
And then we're talking about a valiant effort in a loss. But this is exactly the kind of performance that John Harbaugh has been talking about for years as to why he loves Lamar Jackson. So I sort of think that's important. It's also important to say he was a pocket passer for most of that. He wasn't running around where he could get hurt. He did those things that you ask a great quarterback to do, to be great from the pocket, and he was.
Yeah, Tony, that narrative of Lil Lamar, even this year, early in the year, they lost a game people thought they weren't supposed to lose, and it becomes, well, Lamar Jackson, we don't know how he did it. What? Lamar Jackson is as good as anybody playing the position right now for now. I'm not going to try to project or put him in historical context of what he might do or if he's going to build a dynasty. But right now, Lamar Jackson can crush your soul. He did that last night to Indianapolis, Tony. And so that strikes me. And it seems like, now I will project a little bit here, just a little. It seems like the kind of victory, if you believe in momentum, and unlike baseball, I think we do believe in momentum in football and basketball and hockey, the other team sports. It seems like to me this is the kind of thing that could get the Baltimore Ravens on a roll to have them playing a stretch of great football.
So that's interesting that you would say that, because right now in the AFC at 4-1 are Baltimore and Buffalo and the Chargers. And you know who Baltimore hosts on Sunday? They host the Chargers.
Yeah,
so,
looking forward to that
game. That then becomes a very meaningful game, a game that it would seem to me that everybody would want to watch, because those are the teams right now at the top of the AFC. We move now to the ongoing saga of Kyrie Irving.
Yeah,
the Mets have taken your advice, Wilbon. They put Irving on ice. They say he cannot play or practice with the team until he is eligible for full-time activity, which means either he gets the COVID vaccine or the rules in New York City change. Wilbon, is this the right move for the Nets?
I think it's the right move, because when we first talked about this, I said put him on ice. Put him on ice. Keep him at arm's length. You don't need him. You got two Hall of Fame first ballot players out there in Kevin Durant and James Harden, and you got a supporting cast that looks really impressive, and what you don't need is the drama from a toxic Kyrie Irving. You don't need that. And so, Tony, when Sean Marks and his staff were discussing this, people shouldn't act like Kevin Durant and James Harden weren't part of the consideration here. Of course they were. You don't have this. Football is not basketball. You don't have these kinds of decisions made in professional basketball in today's NBA where you're not consulting your stars who by virtue of salary alone are your partners, and they are partners in terms of the labor as well. So they're doing the right thing as far as I'm concerned. The question is, how long before Kyrie Irving says, you know what, I'm not going to lose like $1 million an hour. Let me take an injection in my arm.
So let me get back to what you just said, because over the last week or so, I have paid attention to what Kevin Durant and James Harden said. And both of them seem to indicate that they want Kyrie Irving on this team, that the three of them are in this together.
Of course they do.
But there was a report of a meeting between the owner and the general manager and Harden and Durant.
Yeah.
They would not, Mike, have come to this solution if Durant and Harden were not on board with it. I don't know what they're going to say publicly, but they had to be on board with it. Kyrie Irving is entitled to his beliefs. If he wants to believe the earth is flat, go ahead. If you don't want to get a COVID vaccination, go ahead. Okay, you can do that if you want, but you should be a golfer or a tennis player. You should be by yourself. You should be in an individual sport because you have no regard whatsoever for the team ethic. If you want to play with your teammates, there are certain sacrifices that have to be made, and one of them is to get this vaccine. Now, I think he will get it. I think he'll want to play, and I think he will get it. But all he cares about is his worldview. It's like he says, I'm so smart, and the rest of you are sheep, so we'll just do what I want. On a team, you can't just do what one person wants. You can't.
In the 15 seconds since the bell rang to end this, in that discussion, Kyrie just lost $1.5 million, okay? So every time he takes a breath, $1 million escapes out of his body. How long is he going to do that? If we just consider that part of the equation, not to mention the team part, and you're right, they can win a championship. I think they can win without him. You know he's selfishly thinking they can't, at least for now.
Let's take a break, but coming up, the Red Sox eliminate the Rays. Is Boston's success sustainable?
And are the Dodgers smart to start Walker Buehler on 3 days rest tonight? That was good baseball last night, Tony. I felt for your boy. I felt for Scherzer. He was great.
One run, seven innings, 10 Ks.
And the Dodgers got a lot of wine.
Pardon the interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
More headlines, starting with the Red Sox eliminating the Rays from the playoffs last night. Kike Hernandez hit a walk-off sac fly in the bottom of the ninth to end the series in 4. The Rays led the American League with 100 wins during the regular season, while the Red Sox scraped into the playoffs. Well, Bon, do you see the Red Sox as overachieving, or is this sustainable?
It's been sustainable. It's what they do. They've been to the ALCS like 7 times in the last 15 or so years. This is what the Red Sox do. They have one of those lineups. They go and find somebody else's cast off. Maybe the Dodgers didn't really want to pay Kike Hernandez that much money. The Red Sox say, come here. Hit it over the wall, hit it to the wall for a sac fly, win the game, whatever it is. What doesn't seem sustainable, I'm going to go off track for a second, is Tampa. Because, Tony, at some point, you got to have starting pitching where you actually believe in starting pitching. And you can't just take people out, you know, and run in 8 relievers. That's not sustainable to win the World Series. Get to the playoffs, sure. But that's not sustainable. What the Red Sox are doing, it's been sustainable.
Yeah, I agree that it is totally sustainable. And I just want to go back not that long ago in time when they traded Mookie Betts and everybody said it was a derelict franchise and they were going to go to the bottom and they would never win again. Well, they've won again. I mean, they just came back within the second year and, you know, and they're back in the playoffs. Look, they beat the Yankees, a division rival. Then they beat Tampa, which finished 8 ahead of them in the same division and beat them 11 out of 19 in the regular season. And why do they beat them? Because they know them so well and they know they can beat them. Do you think they're afraid of Houston or the Chicago, if Chicago were to
get
in?
Neither.
They're not afraid of teams like this.
No.
Look, they don't pitch. They're not a good pitching team. And Chris Sale didn't even make it through 2 innings the other day. And you know why he doesn't have to, Mike? because in four games that they won, they scored 32 runs. 6, 14, 6, and 6. They hit. And if they you do. Hit, everything is sustainable.
Yeah. And Tony, you know what? The Astros, look, as I'm rooting for the White Sox, but the Astros are going to win that series. And Astros-Red yes. Sox would be one hell of a series. Neither one of them afraid of anything. Bold, creative, well-managed. The Dodgers won 106 games in the regular season but could be eliminated from the playoffs later tonight. Evan Longoria and the Giants scored last night's only run amid blustery conditions at Chavez Ravine that saw gusts up to 45 miles per hour. Gavin Lux thought he tied it up with two out in the ninth, but his drive to left center got knocked down out on the warning track. Tony, the Dodgers, who whined like babies, are starting Walker Buehler on 3 days rest tonight. Would you do that?
Yeah, tell me what choice I have. What are my other options? Max Scherzer went last night, and Clayton Kershaw is on the DL.
Great.
So, I mean, yeah I'm going to start him. He's been my number one starter, Buehler, all year long. I'm going to say, give me what you got, and let's see. Because if we don't win this game, we're out. Okay, so, yes, I would start Walker Buehler. Give me a couple of seconds here to mourn Max Scherzer. 7 innings last night, 1 earned run, and
he's
10
great.
Strikeouts. 95% of the time, you're going to win with that. But there are 18 separate at-bats, 18 separate half innings, and it produces just one run, just one run. So let me give the Giants an awful lot of credit, Mike. They have shut out the Dodgers twice in 3 games. They had 2 streaks facing them that were daunting. One that the Dodgers had won 16 straight home games, and the second that Scherzer, every single start this year for them, all 12, the Dodgers had won. And they broke both of those. Credit the Giants.
Tony, agreed. And I stayed up and watched every pitch of that game last night, and it was Major League Playoff Baseball at its best. One run, and you know it could flip at any moment. And then I woke up this morning, and I'm rooting for the Dodgers. Let's just let me say that outright. I'm rooting for the Dodgers. But, Tony, I don't want to hear that the wind beat us. The dog ate my homework. I'm sorry, the wind died down in every half inning that the other team was up. That's just junk. And it leads me to be worried that the Dodgers, you know, when you start making those kind of excuses, you sound like losers, and they're winners. They're the defending champions. But I don't want to hear
That's right.
the dog ate my homework.
That's
I'm in Arizona. I know what the wind is like all across the West. It's like a nor'easter. What would be the word for that? A nor'wester, a
nor'wester.
Southwester. I don't
a
know what it'd be.
A nor'wester would be the word.
Tony, the wind is
Longoria
unbelievable.
Longoria got it through
it's
the wind,
true.
Didn't he? Yeah.
What's that?
Longoria got it through the wind.
He got it through
Longoria
the wind, straight, you know, left center.
Let's
Please,
take one last stop. Break. Still to come, your boy Ben Simmons shows up to play for the Sixers. How should the team welcome him?
Yeah, well, I don't know about to play. The NHL season begins tomorrow. We're going to break it down.
Tonight, it's tonight. It's the Kraken goes tonight. Game one for the Kraken against the Knights.
I got Cracker Jack,
Tony. Don't
you pay attention? Aren't you jealous?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 86th birthday, Tony Kubek. Kubek was a Yankee shortstop for almost a decade in the 50s and 60s. He was not as important to the Yankee shortstop history as Phil Rizzuto or Derek Jeter, but Kubek was Rookie of the Year in 1957, four-time All-Star and a three-time World Series champion. Kubek's legacy, though, was his 24-year career as a baseball analyst on NBC. Kubek gets credit for being one of the first such analysts on national television. In those days, the surest
Ernie!
Way to a television booth was to be a famous New York athlete. Pat Summerall and Frank Gifford were New York Giants football players who went from the field to national TV. Now the surest way to a football booth is to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Kubek worked all those years next to celebrated broadcasters such as Jim Simpson, Kurt Gowdy, Bob Costas, and player-turned-broadcaster Joe Garagiola.
Tony, I think I remember Kubek, who I just thought was fabulous, most of all with Garagiola. He was around so long, those broadcasts were so important, football wasn't anywhere near as popular as baseball at the beginning of that. And baseball broadcasts and broadcasters were in your head for forever. Tony Kubek, man, that's like the soundtrack of my childhood.
Happy anniversary, Chris Ford. On this day 42 years ago in a game against the Houston Rockets, the Celtics guard made the first three-point shot in NBA history. The NBA lifted the shot from the ABA. Ford made 126 threes in his career. Steph Curry makes 126 threes in about a third of a season. No one back then could have foreseen what an impact the three would have on basketball. It changed the entire strategy of offense. It basically killed the 12 to 15 foot jump shot, which was the staple of the game. Why get two for that when you can move back a couple of steps and get three? Old school players were caught in the quicksand of time. Coincidentally, that game was Larry Bird's first in the NBA. Ford told Sports Illustrated years later, quote, "Don't think Larry hasn't been pissed over the years that it wasn't him who made the first one," unquote.
Tony, I'm not in favor of changing the logo. And I understand the people who say Kobe Bryant, if they ever change it, should be the new logo Jerry West has been. But to me, given the evolution of the three and how it has changed the game, if anybody's going to be the new logo, it should be Steph Curry. I mean, the three-point shot has changed basketball, I believe, maybe more than any other sport has been changed in a small period of time, like 25 years. And so Chris Ford, that's a pretty cool thing to have that mark.
Happy trails to Ben Simmons holding out. Simmons, who'd reportedly said he would never play for the 76ers again, walked up to the Wells Fargo Center last night and took a COVID test so he could rejoin the 76ers. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN says Elton Brand got a text that Simmons was outside the building and security had to let him in. If Simmons is never going to play for the Sixers again, what is he doing reporting to the Sixers? Is it the lost money? Simmons has reportedly incurred $1 million in fines and lost wages. Does Simmons still want to be traded? Wilbon, where is this going?
What is your favorite phrase? The answer to everything is money? Yeah, because unlike Kyrie Irving, who at the moment doesn't seem that he's just throwing millions out the window and making it rain, Ben Simmons can come back. It doesn't mean he's going to be in uniform, Tone. It means he's going to be around the team. I still think there's going to be a trade. I don't want to see him have to endure in Philly what he would have to endure.
Let us go to the big finish. Tom Brady has his right thumb wrapped when he met the media today, but he says he should be fine for Thursday night. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Oh, Tom Brady intrigue. I'm going to say a little deal. He'll go out and throw for 4 touchdowns and 3-11. Who knows? Buster Olney reports that the Yankees are inclined to keep Aaron Boone as manager. I like that, but are you surprised?
I'm not surprised. I think he's a good manager, but he's not a fan favorite. He's not. The Saints put kicker Cody Parkey on injured reserve with a groin injury. I don't have a question. I just wanted to say Cody Parkey to haunt you.
You know there's a name that haunts me much more who's with the Bears now. Cody Parkey, please. I swap him even up for the head coach. The PGA Tour will limit drivers to 46 inches in length. Are you okay with that?
I don't really know much about the technology. As far as I'm concerned, you can go up there with a baseball bat if you can hit it. It's okay with me. Last one, the NHL season begins tonight. Who's going to win it all? And we're going to hold you to this.
As long as the Lightning doesn't win, I'm fine. I don't want a three-peat for the Ning.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now, your SportsCenter.
Eddie Brown and Brian Barrows, shout out. What a big tournament in Rehoboth.
PTI.